Father, we do thank you, Lord, just that you sent your Son, Lord, that we might have life and more abundantly. So as we're here, Lord, help us to just hear what you have for us this morning, that you would just speak to us, Lord, that we might know you more. And Lord, as we know you, we would fall more in love with you and just want to make you known. We praise you and just thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. All right, so I'm not going to turn it on quite yet because I want to see my answers to my questions. It's not fair. So let's read the verse, Hosea 10:12. I figure it shouldn't be too much, and I don't need a reader. It's only one verse for now. And we talked about this last week a little bit. So it says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So my first thought, last week I shared it some, but it wasn't really like my main focus when we talked about the fallow ground part, which I don't even know. I actually think the Bible gives us an answer what the fallow ground is. So I would like to look at that, and I think the verse starts off very strange. Can anybody pick out the strange part about it? Between the first, I'll say stanza, and the second one, sow and reap. Is that strange to you?
Well, because it says do something for yourself, you know, if you're not doing for others, is that...
No, not completely. Okay. It should cause you, okay, I'll just answer the question.
Okay.
According to Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you shall also reap.
Okay.
So he's telling you to sow for yourselves righteousness, but then he's saying to reap mercy. And I just thought that was a little strange. Do you ever sow things and something else come up? Do you know what I mean?
If you sow righteousness, mercy will follow it because you're sowing the the seed of God Himself, and He is full of mercy and love, mercy and brotherhood. So if you sow righteousness, you will be mercy.
Okay.
Well, sowing righteousness also means like giving out righteousness.
Okay.
Mercy. Then mercy should follow because you kind of get what you sow.
Yeah.
But that's saying righteous. Notice it's just a little different. So I think it just made me stop and say, "Good morning."
Good morning.
It just is like, why wouldn't you reap that? I think you do the righteousness, and we'll look at that. And I just wanted to work through it, and then we'll talk about the reaping mercy a little bit later because I think it all come together. We're still talking about this. Sorry, you guys get stuck with what the Lord.
So we didn't really distinguish between, I mean, righteousness and mercy are two different things.
Correct.
Okay.
Righteousness is always right, doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Will not the Lord always do right?
Right.
Right? So He is always going to do righteous. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That word also could be, another translation, tender love. Mercy. I think it's tender love.
Yeah, I've got unfailing.
Unfailing love, okay. Sorry, I cheat and stick to one version and the other ones pop up. So, one of the things that you... So, notice it says, sow for yourselves. It's not sowing righteousness. It's sowing for yourself righteousness.
Yeah, that's a little confusing.
Right. So it's actually something that the Lord's telling you need to do for yourself. Right? Sow for yourselves righteousness. Why? Why do you sow something? Like I even have my little answers here. So. Okay. So what is the benefit? Well, first you have to sow something. Like this is a garden term. So through all this, does anybody, I don't even know if I put it in here, 2 Timothy There's a verse that's always puzzled me, that I've never understood. I didn't put it in here because I didn't think. 2 Timothy 2:6 and 7, which is not in here, I don't think. Yes. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Right? So the hard-working farmer has to be first to partake. The crop itself is not the farmer's. Right? The seed is not the farmer. Right? So in and of himself, there is nothing that the one doing the selling has to offer except for the seed of righteousness. Right? If we're looking at selling and reaping and crops. And so this helped me understand the hardworking farmer has to be first to partake. We're going to get to the answer. Bear with me. Any thoughts or questions? So first, like to farm, right? We all plant gardens, so we're going to look at this in that aspect, some of us. But we all do tomato plants or something, right? Or so there's a need or we desire the fruit, right? First off, we need sustenance, we need life, we need all these things. And what the Lord's telling us is what we need to sow for is for righteousness. That is the greatest need that we have is in humanity. Right? Can we all agree to that?
Yeah, telling us that none is righteous. No, not one.
Exactly. So you have to sow for yourselves righteousness. But I need to go
get the righteousness from God.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what this whole verse is teaching. And at least for me. So, and I even have, I even wrote some of this stuff down if I just pay attention. This is why I don't use my notes, because I get lost and then I back up. Righteousness is not something we have, right? It is something we receive. Or should I say someone we receive. It is a gift of God. This is what Paul says in Philippians. Philippians 3:9 says, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God. We see it's a gift. We know that it's something that we have to go after. The Lord is encouraging us to go after. And righteousness is a need we have that the Lord wants us to have a desire to fulfill. See, it's not good enough to know that you have a need. It's a certain point in time that you want that need filled. And that's what in Matthew 5:6 even proves that it's a crop. It even shows that it's something to go after. Right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To be found right and to be right. And to do right. Right?
Right.
Don't tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right.
No left is here.
And we're going to talk about the reaping mercy a little bit later because there's a verse that I think ties it all together. But last week we kind of mostly talked about breaking up the fallow ground. And I did some research and we talked, I think you quoted, started saying, isn't that Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which we have here. It says, break up the fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Which is kind of funny. And I do have, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. So what is breaking up fallow ground according to Jeremiah?
It's in us.
The foreskin of our heart. The layer of our heart that needs peeled away. Circumcision. I've never, it's kind of funny, like, because males get circumcised, women don't. Right? But it's kind of, here's how it proves out, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have these weird things go through my head. Correct. So, Jeremiah says this, to take away the foreskins of your heart. I want to deal with, like, some, there's things that are fallow ground. First off, if you don't think you have a need, for righteousness, or you have your own righteousness, there's definitely some tearing away and some circumcision that needs to be taken, right? And I read earlier in Romans where Paul had said it's not of the law, right? A lot of times we look at Genesis through, you know, the Bible and say that's the law. But the truth is we have laws unto ourselves. Like, we're comfortable in our own skin with our own faith that we have, and we have our own rituals, habits, things like that that I think the Lord wants to constantly rip away. He wants us to constantly come to a place to say, even though I know I'm righteous in Christ, I still want to go after and need to sow for myself righteousness, that we might have the righteousness of God, might be of God, right? That it can be imputed to us. And you guys know verses, and we're going to get to them as I get there. Okay, so now I have a gap and I forget what I had. That's just page 104. Sorry. And so we have here, Paul says in Romans, he's a Jew who is one inwardly. The circumcision is of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So I think that in many ways, that law unto ourselves, we hold on to our own, what we consider right, and many times we'll get solidified in that, which is good because we're supposed to have doctrine that we follow, but we need to, I think, be open that we're following a person and not a doctrine, and that we're walking with the Lord and not just letters. Allow it to sink to 18 inches from your head into your heart. So it works. One of the other ways we see that fallow ground takes place is in the next verse in Hosea, which is 13. It says, you've plowed wickedness and you've reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Why? Because you've trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. It's basically human wisdom. Trusting. And even though we're believers trusting the Lord, we can find ourselves getting lulled back into human theology, human wisdom, our own righteousness, different things, you know. So we always need to be in a place where we need to keep sowing for ourselves, to be thankful for the righteousness that we've been given, and move from that. Hebrews 4:2 tells us that for indeed the gospel... See, here's another issue that happens when it comes to fallow ground. So we have your own law, holding on to your own wisdom. You have trusting in your own ways. But Paul says the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard didn't profit because it wasn't mixed with faith. You see, unbelief works about the fallowness, I believe, in the ground and in your heart. Not truly taking God for His word and believing Him, right? And going after Him, right? That's what I believe. The opposite is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. How do I know what to do? How do I know what the right thing is to do? Well, I can go by my own reasoning, or I can trust the Lord and ask Him and seek Him for how I'm supposed to blah, blah, blah. Now, then we have for it is time. I'm doing little portions because that's how it works for me. For it is time. Time is one of those things we never seem to have enough of. Would everybody agree to that? And if you blink, it's gone. And it's kind of funny that time is such a thing you can't grab, even though we're eternal. We're not outside. We still have to deal with it, right? But what is that time? What are we to do with the time we have? See, I'm just reminding you of everything you already know. Seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. See, that's a trouble one there for me. Not as a fool, but wise. Redeeming the time. Redeeming is to buy back. And why? And we know this is true because the days are evil.
Like, do we really believe what we see going on around us that we can actually have an impact on it?
As being bearers of Him, yes.
Right. But if we don't believe that or don't see that, and we don't see our need that that's the desire of Him, then we're not going to go after Him. We're not going to sow for ourselves righteousness. Colossians 4. So that we personally can understand what the will of the Lord is for ourselves. But then in Colossians it says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So it's not only for yourself to learn to redeem the time, it's for those who are outside, unbelievers and unsaved. Right? Let your speech always be with grace. Everybody there yet? Seasoned with salt. That you may how you ought may know how you ought to answer each one. Do you know why it says to know how to answer each one? Because it's the same answer isn't the same for everybody. And you need to be sensitive to the Spirit to be able to hear how He wants to move for each individual. Somebody, two people can be going through the same thing, but God wants to meet them where they are, and you don't know what that is. So we need to meet Him so He can show us. Thoughts, questions? I'm not going to even make it. We made it through page two. We might make it.
You're on a roll, man.
Huh?
Then you're on a roll. Keep it up.
I left a lot out. Some things are for me. So what's Hebrews tell us today? What time? Today. Now, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Remember before how I said that their hearts were hardened because of unbelief? That's what God considers rebellion, unbelief. When we don't believe and rest in Him. So it says it's time to seek the Lord. That's what time it is. When? Now. When's the right time? Always. Is there ever a bad time? No. Unless you don't think you need to hear from Him.
You really need to hear from Him.
Right. Then you're starting to, that fallow ground starts to get brought back up. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Well, He tells us to seek Him, but a lot of people, I think, say, well, I can't ever find Him. Or I don't know. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do I know when I've met with Him? Or I haven't just done a devotion. Or how, you know what I'm saying? There's times. Well, but He guarantees that when we come, He's going to show Himself to us. That's what's beautiful about it. It's not like that seeking word. It's not like, I hope He's out there.
But
I don't. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I don't usually flip the opposite of it, but hearing the opposite of it, is there a day where, I mean, we know, will there be a day when He may not be found and you can't call upon Him because it is too late? You have to.
For us in this room?
Not us in this, not those who are His.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, right. He's promised to never leave nor forsake us.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
But seek the Lord while He may be found because, you know.
Well, there are verses in there that says you'll call on me and you won't find me. Right. But I think it has more to do with the reasons behind the call. Or the reasons behind the call. Mm-hmm. Because God promises it, like a Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently will find me.
There is I'm aware of this, but if you search for me with all your heart, I will be there. If you search for me.
Well, there it is. Please. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search with me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Right? Ultimately, deep down inside, we know these things, but do we believe these things? You know, has it come from a point where I understand theology and doctrine tells me I need to seek the Lord? But in my heart, do I really know
Do I really have a desire, my need for Him, to hear from Him moment by moment, day by day? Those are questions you can only answer in your heart. For me, the answer is, no, I don't do that all the time. Unfortunately. Anybody ever say, I just need some time for me? That's not scriptural. Maybe I need time for thee. And that's what he's saying, the time.
I try to get away from me, but I always follow.
Great, we're our worst enemy. I left to get away, but I went with me. And then there's a promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see fruit of them, God. The pure in heart, one who is searching with his whole heart. Pure, you don't have to become to the point in your life where you're just everything in your life is pure. It means a single focus in your heart to go after Him. And for nothing else but for Him. That's important for us as believers. Many times we seek Him for something rather than seeking Him for who He is and being grateful for everything He's done for us. The life that we have right now is a gift from God because we have, you know, because we don't have our own righteousness. Okay? Okay.
So it goes along with that circumcision of the heart. Like, I was thinking, like, that's the covering that we keep on our heart of pride or embarrassment or, shame, sin that we hide from each other. And, and it's only in the circumcision of it, you know, you're letting that protective covering expose you without those things, and that's a tough place to get for any human being.
But that's what he's calling for.
And because that can hurt. If that's rejected or that's
right. And then the bad part in and all the truth is in all this is we all have the same issues. We aren't all not walking perfectly with the Lord. We need to build one another up, encourage one another. Well, you can't build someone up and encourage someone if they're not open before the Lord and being, you know, humble thyself and say to the Lord and He'll lift you up, right?
Yeah, and really not until then.
Right. And it goes back to you need to know you need the crop and then you need to desire it and then you need to plant it or go after it and form.
That's why we hear people say, oh, I prayed, and it didn't get answered, you know, so forget that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work.
I mean, it's time to seek the Lord, right? Do I just go after Him and just look for Him and go after Him in His Word so that I can know Him? Not that I want my bills paid, not that I want good health, not that I want anything other than to know Him. And
yeah, bingo, right there.
That is where that purity of heart, that wholeheartedness, that's why we need to rip out the pride. It needs circumcised and cut away. And when we come to His Word, those are the things that are revealed and open up to us, and we have choices to say, I'm going to believe the Lord that I need to do this because I need that righteousness. I mean, how many times in a day if you walked out and took the time to hear from God on a situation that you responded to before you sought Him that just wreaked your conscience the rest of the day or weeks or late years? Where if you'd have just waited upon the Lord and waited for Him to give you guidance, right? So there's times that we should wait and times to seek Him out. Well, all the time.
You want to hear the song in my head?
Okay.
To know Him is to love, love, love. And I do.
So, and then we have the example with Mary and Martha. Martha came to Jesus. There's so much to do.
Can you get Mary to help me? Right? Ever feel that way? Especially around the holidays and everything. There's so much to do. Well, what you need to do is so. Not be busy. And that's why Jesus said there's one thing is needed. Not things. There's a couple of things. It's only one thing needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. That's all that's needed in our lives. I know a lot of people, I'll argue, people will say, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Right? That's to calm people down. I'm telling you right now, if you're not heavenly minded all the time, you are no earthly good. If we're not thinking of the things and trying to relate and walk out what God's trying to work in us and proclaim it, because we find that it's life and we find and we know that they have that need, they need that righteousness, and then to walk in that righteousness. But then you have to ask, how long do we do this? Okay. Till he comes.
Or comes for us.
Either way, it's till he comes, right? Yeah. First off, I don't know if you guys, when you're reading, like, I don't say I'm going to read four chapters a day, you get through the Bible in a year, like I used to. You know that, right? Four chapters a day, get you the Bible in a year. Anyway, don't get caught on that. It's just to seek after him and to get the whole counsel of the word. But even with this, when I was studying, there's things that pop out at you when you're seeking him through his word. There's just like certain verses or certain things that he grabs your attention. He's speaking. It might be outside of what's even being said in the context, but you know something's being said to you to where he wants you to just stop and seek after him to get further guidance. So, I said it was not a thing, it's a person. 1 Corinthians tells us, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Excuse me. So one of the things I think that's really, like when it says until he comes, one of the things we need to understand is because we don't have righteousness on our own, it's a gift that we have to receive by faith, right, that Christ gave us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Right, see, his righteousness that we're going after, he takes and plants and puts over top of us. And that's something you have to receive, that you, because I'm not going to seek and sow and go with wholeheartedness if I already know, if I don't realize that I am righteous in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did for me. If I'm still questioning my righteousness because I know my unrighteousness, and I'm not relying my complete salvation on him, it's hard to come. It's hard to believe these things. It's hard to walk in the truth of the word because we have unbelief. And that's really what it is. You say it's humbling to sit there and say, I know I have unbelief. The epileptic son, that father said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, we're unbelieving believers that want to believe more.
Righteous, righteous believer.
Right. We have to believe it or we're in trouble. There is no hope outside of that. I mean, it's so simple, but yet we make it so difficult. And then we're, we made it to the fourth page. So we wait until he rains down righteousness. So there's a couple places to talk about righteousness that I hope you can hear and understand that this is at myself, because it needs to be received, and hopefully it will allow you to hear what's being said. Ephesians says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So there's a crop that says righteousness is part of that, right? And that's kind of what we were talking about. How does he sow for righteousness? The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what's the Spirit going to do? Bring forth that righteousness, right? Till it rains down on you. The second one's another fruit from right of righteousness. And so even today could be this point here. If you know, chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Right? Anybody like having your faults put in front of your face? Having what you did wrong or even what they think? You know, no one likes that. The chastening to be sometimes, I don't know how you guys, for me, chastening from God is not a whipping, but it's just an unveiling of how much He loves me and how much He wants to give of Himself to me. And that is, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. All of this is to bring about repentance, this verse. Right? And so after you go through all this, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, to those who have been trained by it. What does it mean if you weren't trained by it?
I don't memorize this verse a long time ago, but the word you have here for chastening is also in lots of versions, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so discipline isn't like, you know, some people have a negative, but it's really discipling, it's training, it's teaching.
Yes.
It's always done with the interest of the person disciplining as for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're acting in love when you discipline children. You're acting in love when you discipline yourself. You're just acting in love. And God disciplines others, not that
you spare the rod's bull of the child, you know, if you allow yourself. Right. Any thoughts, questions? No? So, when I said I'd get back to the reaping and mercy, you guys missed my question. Like sowing in righteousness, reaping mercy, that didn't make sense to me because what you sow, you reap. So it was like that little thing that made me keep looking. Anyway, I don't know if you heard that one. Okay. So I said we'll talk about the reaping mercy later because, like you said, it all has to do with grace and searching the righteousness because the same opportunity in Hebrews 4:16 says, let us boldly come to the throne of grace. That we might obtain.
Oh,
huh? Oh, cool. So, what are we obtaining when we seek the throne of grace, when we seek Jesus? What does Hebrews tell us? No, what's Hebrews telling you? Wouldn't that be the same as reaping? Would obtaining be the same as reaping?
Gathering,
which is the reaping of the harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and obtaining,
so
I think of receiving.
Huh?
Yeah.
Obtaining or receiving.
Yeah.
And so ultimately what I believe the Lord's teaching us is if we go after Him and for His righteousness and just seek after Him, just the simple fact that the throne is open is mercy.
They both require effort.
Every sow, reap.
Or if you're going to go break, obtain something, you're going to have to do something.
Right, but it's sow, reap, break, seek. Right? And there's four things He's telling. Sow, reap, break up that fallow ground, and seek the Lord until He comes. That's the only four things. I mean, those are and it's all available because He has opened up and we have acceptance in the blood. And so it's only freeing. So He says, come. Why? So you can obtain grace and help in time of need. Well, you're not going to go if you don't think you have a need. And if you think you're righteous, you don't need to go. But if you see your unrighteousness, where do we go? We don't try to cover it. We don't try to hide it. We come before the Lord and allow Him to expose it, tear it out, so He can implant His peaceable fruit of righteousness within us. So that so we see our need, we see He has the answer, we see He has the ability, the desire, and everything that's available to us to come to Him and for Him to move And then, so I wanted to finish with this because some of the verses in there kind of work it out, and that's in communion. And because this whole verse in Hosea is talking about having communion and fellowship with our Lord. And I wanted to do it because what does it say when Paul, I do have it ready, believe it or not, if you want to do it. It's in the kitchen. I'll get it. But I just wanted to, so what does Paul say? I receive from the Lord that which I delivered to you. Righteousness. I have to receive it and before I can give it. It's not in and of myself. I have to go after him. So Paul says, I received, then I delivered. So what he's delivering is that the Lord Jesus, on this, you know, this is the for communion, which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Break up the fallow ground. This is my body, which is broken. And when he had given thanks, oh, he broke it and said, take, eat, and this is my body. Oh, I highlighted it. Broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now look at this last sentence. For as often as you eat in this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Isn't that the same thing it says in that verse? I wanted to come, you know, the whole thing speaking of communion, fellowship with God, and how often do you do this thing? When is the right time? Now's the right time till he comes. And that's all the Lord's causing and asking and seeking after us, and us to desire to seek after him, is to know our need to come because he's able to fulfill it. He has fulfilled it, so we keep coming, we keep going after him, and we keep have fellowship, and we do it proclaiming his death until he comes. And so, any thoughts, questions, subtractions? That's Hosea 10:12 in a nutshell for me. I don't know if that makes sense.
I love the way you tied it back into the communion.
So I do have that ready if you'd like to do communion. And for those, oh look, they came down. I know we talked about doing upstairs, but this works out. I thought it went well with the message. So would you like to do communion? Is that all right?